This message comes from NPR sponsor Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, whose scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute is changing lives everywhere. DanaFarber.org/everywhere.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Corva Coleman. The National Transportation Safety Board has recovered a data recorder from the cargo ship that crashed into a Baltimore interstate bridge yesterday. Officials say the subsequent collapse of the Francis Scott Key Bridge killed 6 men. The disaster has cut off shipping traffic into and out of the port of Baltimore. U.S. Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg says the state of Maryland can't wait for the port to open again.
In addition to the project of getting that bridge back up and running, we can't wait for the bridge work to be complete to see that channel reopen. There are vessels that are stuck inside right now, and there's an enormous amount of traffic that goes through there that's really important to the entire economy.
He spoke to NPR's Morning Edition. State lawmakers in Maryland are drafting legislation. They want to provide emergency income replacement for thousands of people who are losing work because of the disaster involving the Port of Baltimore. A top Russian security official says he believes the U.S. and Ukraine were involved in the mass shooting at a Moscow-area concert hall last week. NPR's Greg Myrie reports Russia has not provided evidence and ISIS is claiming responsibility.
Russian leader Vladimir Putin and his top advisors have acknowledged that Muslim extremists carried out the attack that killed at least 137 people last Friday. But Alexander Bortnikov, the head of the main security agency, says he believes the U.S. and Ukraine orchestrated the assault. He did not provide evidence. Meanwhile, a former CIA officer who worked in Moscow, Dan Hoffman, calls this disinformation that's part of the Russian playbook.
I think we have to distinguish between Putin's propaganda accusing Ukraine of this terrorist attack when, in fact, he absolutely knows what happened.
Russia has arrested several men from Tajikistan in connection with the attack. Greg Myrie, NPR News.
Political analysts are weighing in on Donald Trump's strategies to attract Democratic voters amid the war between Israel and Hamas. NPR's Franco Ordonez has more.
Former President Donald Trump sent shockwaves through the Jewish American community and Washington when he said Jews who vote Democrat hate Israel. It's not the first time Trump has dabbled in what critics say are anti-Semitic tropes. Norm Ornstein, a senior fellow at the Conservative American Enterprise Institute, says the language reflects how far Trump is willing to go to try to pick up Jewish voters.
The idea is that if Jews care about Israel, they're going to want to go for the strongest supporter.
Trump also likes to point out his work on behalf of Israel, including moving the U.S. embassy to Jerusalem. But a large majority of American Jews continue to support Democrats. And Jewish American groups say the rhetoric solidifies opposition to him. Franco Ordonez, NPR News.
You're listening to NPR News from Washington. Today is the anniversary of the mass shooting at a Nashville school. 3 children and 3 adults were killed. A group of Tennessee mothers is planning to form a 3-mile-long human chain today to remember the victims. The head coach of the University of Utah women's basketball team says its players were the target of racial harassment after arriving in Idaho for the NCAA Division I tournament. The team was staying in Coeur d'Alene for its games in nearby Spokane, Washington. From Boise State Public Radio, Troy Oppie has more.
Officials say someone driving a truck with a Confederate flag last Thursday evening revved the engine aggressively and shouted racial slurs at players and staff as they walked to dinner in the North Idaho town. A second truck joined in as the team returned from dinner. Lynn Roberts is Utah's women's basketball coach.
For our players and staff to not feel safe in an NCAA tournament environment, it's messed up.
Roberts called the incidents hate crimes and a black eye on their tournament experience. The NCAA, in a statement, says it helped provide increased security until the team relocated to a hotel in Spokane the next day. The Coeur d'Alene Police Department and the FBI are investigating. For NPR News, I'm Troy Oppie in Boise.
A federal appeals court ruled late last night a Texas immigration law must remain on hold while the court considers its legality. The law allows Texas local officials to arrest migrants suspected to be in the U.S. illegally and have them deported. Opponents say only federal officers can do this. I'm Corva Coleman, NPR News.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Allianz Travel Insurance. Don't get caught without emergency medical coverage on an international trip. Learn how Allianz Travel Insurance can protect your trip from the unexpected at AllianzTravelInsurance.com.